Okay, tonight's shir is B'schus Refuah Shleima, Tzipora Aviva, Abraham Ben Rivka, and the Gresi Ashkayach to the will of Mishpacha for opening up their home to this limud. We begin with the first pasuk. Vayibi me'achashveirosh, hu achashveirosh, ha'moylech me'hoid v'ad kush. It was in the days of Achashveirosh, he was Achashveirosh who ruled from Hoidu until Kush, Sheva v'esrim u'me'a Medina. It was 127 provinces that Achashveirosh ruled over. We're all familiar with this pasuk. It's the beginning of the Milas Esther, which says Hashem will read in some five, 6 weeks. Now, in order to appreciate where this takes place and when in time, we have to go through a bit of an introduction to what took place, and it's important to understand when Megillas Esther is taking place. No event in Jewish history takes place at a time where it's not the proper time. In other words, the question is, there's a question which is asked, which one would laugh, is why does the Torah have Megillas Esther in it? So we say, well, I mean, of course, the story of Purim took place after the Torah was given. But there's much, much more depth to that question. And that is, why did the story of Purim take place sometime during the era when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar? It was a mix of Purim, you could say Amalek to a certain extent. But why didn't we have the whole rigmarole of Haman and so on? Why did that occur? The answer is because the limudim of Megillas Esther, the lesson of Purim, and the lessons is a handbook to Galus. So you'll hear that terminology used many times. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave Klal Yisrael a guide, a handbook, how to survive the Galus. And therefore the story of Purim takes place in the time it takes place, which is a time of Galus, in order that Klal Yisrael use Purim, use Megillas Esther as a guide to survive the Galus that unfortunately, but I'm going to say to Rabbim, we've been in for so long. The pasuk in Yirmiyah tells us, Perek Chaf Tes pasuk Yud, Ki Chay Amar Hashem Ki Lefi Melois Lebavel Shivim Shana Efkayd Eschem. Yirmiyah makes a nevuah that for 70 years, after 70 years, I'm going to remember you, and this 70 years perplexed many people during that era. And this is an important fundamental aspect of the introduction of Megillas Esther. We have at the end of the Bayis Rishon, we have Nebuchadnezzar becomes the king. It's in the year 3320. The Churban Bayis Rishon takes place in the year 3338. Okay, the numbers are not as important as understanding where Megillas Esther, where the story of Purim fits in. It takes over his son after Nebuchadnezzar is taken over by Evil Meraydach. Then, following that, Belshazzar, this Machlekes Rishonim, was Belshazzar the son of Evil Meraydach, or was he the brother of Evil Meraydach? He then takes over. Belshazzar is king in 3387. Rashi and Daniel learns that Belshazzar and Evil Meraydach were sons of Nebuchadnezzar. So you have Nebuchadnezzar dies, his son Evil Meraydach takes over, Evil Meraydach dies, and then his brother, right, that was the way it worked, takes over in his place. According to most Mepharshim, including Rashi and Yirmiyah, Perek Chav Zayin, says that Belshazzar is ben benoy shel Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So then the order of lineage is much more poshut. You have Nebuchadnezzar dies, his son takes over, Evil Meraydach dies, his son takes over, Belshazzar then takes over. Now, Belshazzar in the year 3389 comes up with the, but either way, Maman Shach, Belshazzar is the a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Again, he's either his son or his grandson. In the year 3389, we have what's called the Mishnah of Belshazzar, which is discussed in Sefer Daniel in detail. And Belshazzar makes a cheshbon, makes a calculation that the 70 years are up, and he makes a big party, he makes a big suda. It's discussed again in Perek Hay, a big feast. And at that suda, he uses the keil of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo Aleinu, this is what he says, has forgotten Klal Yisrael. The 70 years are up, the Nevuah was there. These Rishonim understood, had a certain belief in these Nevi'im, but on the, also they recognized that Nevi'is Nevi'is, 70 years, 70 years. If 70 years passed and it's gone, then that's it. It's Farfala. The Ribbono Shel Olam forgot about Klal Yisrael. They're done. No more. Gandikt. So the 70 years in his cheshbon was done, finished. And now he made a party. And at that party, it says, L'hayosa l'mane d'ahava v'kaspa t'hanpik n'muchanetzer. He went ahead and he took these kalim, these gold and silver kalim, that were removed, that were taken by the Nebuchadnezzar. They were taken from the Heichal Yerushalayim. They were taken from the Heichal. So Belshazzar used these. And of course, at that Suda, we have the famous hand which writes the words on the wall, Menah, Menah, Tekel, Ufarsin. Which means the hand, that's where the cliche hand, the handwriting is on the wall when you want to, you know, project something in the future. The term is the handwriting is on the wall. Of course, that comes from this pasuk in Sefer Daniel. Daniel is summoned to come and touch up to define the words on the wall, and he defines them and he explains. Bnei Bnei means Hashem has counted your kinship, and has terminated it. Tekel, right? You were weighed. Right, from like the Lashon of Shekel, it's Aramaic for you've been weighed. Ufarsin, which means that either it means that it's been broken from a para, a prusa. A prusa is a piece, right? A prusa, a piece of bread. So it means your kingdom is now smashed into pieces. And it's also going to be given over to Parsa Madai. Another pshat of Parsin is from Parsa Madai, which is what happens. And immediately after that, or somewhat after that, there's a massacre in the palace. And at that point, Parasu Madai now takes over, Daryavash, and so on, and eventually there's Kairish that's involved, and they now take over, they are now the rulers of the world. And basically, it's a massacre in the palace. Now, why is this important to Megillas Esther? First of all, as we know in the introduction, and the Suda, which is how the Megillah is going to start, as we know, Achashverosh uses the Kalim Beis HaMikdash also. And those are the same kalim. He makes his own cheshbon, he makes his own calculation, and of course he was wrong as well. Besides the fact that it was a bizoyan for the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, but more important, or not more important, but equally important, is that Belshazzar had a daughter. The only survivor of this massacre in the palace was a little girl by the name of Vashti, who was the daughter of Belshazzar. Now that makes her either the great granddaughter or the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, depending on how you learn where Belshazzar fits in the lineage. And this is very, very important. Very, very important. Number one is that it's interesting to note that, of course, what at this Suda, where Belshazzar, you know, desecrates the Kalim of Beis HaMikdash, the vessels of Beis HaMikdash, at that Suda, everyone is massacred, Vashti is saved. At the next desecration of the Kalim of Beis HaMikdash, which is the introduction to Megillas Esther, so we don't have Achashverosh massacred, but we also have something happens, and that is Vashti is at that Suda, at the same Suda. Vashti at that point meets her fate, and of course, as we know, she's asked to come, and we'll get to those psukim and elaborate on those at a later date. But she is now killed. So an offshoot, either way, either there's a massive massacre or a huge massacre which occurs by Belshazzar, or there is, you know, the Satan is roike, right? The Satan is there. To say loizu aderech, right? You can't use the kalim of Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, another difference between the story by Belshazzar and the story by Achashverosh, they're the same event, so to speak. You have a miscalculation, you have a bizayon for the kalim, for the vessels, but the difference is by Achashverosh, we have Klal Yisrael that are also part of this party. They come, they attend, and in fact the Gemara asks Akasha, why was it that Klal Yisrael, what did they do to be chayiv kloya, right? Shalu tamid v'esrim shiv v'yachayim neiman is chayiv v'sanein shal Yisrael sheba oisa hador kloya. What did Klal Yisrael do to deserve loyaleinu destruction? Kloya means a terrible word, and that's why the Gemara uses a euphemism of shalu tamid v'neiman is chayiv v'sanein shal Yisrael. Why were the enemies of Klal Yisrael? We're really referring to Klal Yisrael, Lashon Sagi Mahar. But Lamaisa, it's one of the terutzim is because they worshipped. One of the terutzim is because they ate from the Renenda from the Suda of Isa Rasha. They ate from the Suda of Achashverosh, which is a terrible, terrible thing because it's a bizayon to the Kalim of Beis HaMikdash.
The Suda was for the 70 years, or was it because the children that there was a throne that was built?
There were other Cheshbainas, right? One of the Cheshbainas was, it was the fact that the Kalim are being used. Is because the 70 years are up. The purpose of the Suda fits in also to this story of Belshazzar and Vashti.
Can we imagine that Eden showed up to the Suda because the 70 years had gone by and there was no longer base mix?
They were Miyayish, right? And that's that. The crux, as we'll elaborate on, the crux of the chait of Klal Yisrael, it means that they went to the Suda. So Vashti Shlecht, right? What's so terrible they went to the Suda? The answer is by attending this Suda, they were... They were bevaza the kelim. They were miyayish. In other words, it showed a simon of yish to come to such a suda.
My question is: they knew that that was the cheshbon, or they showed up and it happened. They showed up and they saw it. I always learned that they showed up and they saw that.
Okay, but even if that's the case, in other words, Pash, they should have left. First of all, Mordechai warned them not to come,
right.
But they went. They went. You know what's the problem? But even if it was that they saw it when they showed up. Lemaisa, you should have walked out. Marshal Madavar Daima to this Kalim, right? Yeah. Marshal Madavar Daima of this was, imagine going to a party where they took Sefer Torah and that becomes the carpet of the party. You show up to a party, right, and there's people, that are Sayyidi Yisrael, and they've got that whole Sefer Torah, and that's the carpet. I mean, what Yid would walk into such a party? It would be trampling on Sefer Torah, Rahman al-Islam. So that's really exactly what was going on over here. And again, we'll elaborate more when we get to the Suda itself.
And what was the cheshbon of the 70 years? Can you just...
Yes, so that has to do with, is the 70 years from the Nevuah itself, which is really the Maskana, or in other words, that from the Nevuah, when the Lamaisa, when Yirmiyah said 70 years... He meant from this Nevuah, it'll be 70 years. And that's Taka, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt in the year 3408, is the year, which is 70 years after, I'm sorry, not the Nevuah, it was 70 years after the Churban Bayis. The Churban Bayis Rishon was in the year 3338. What Yirmiyah meant was that there will be a Churban, there will be no Beis HaMikdash for 70 years. That was the cheshbon. But the mistake was, there were other cheshbonis. Maybe it's from Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus, and maybe, right? In other words, the Nevuah was to the Hamainam, was not clear exactly when the 70 years up. So this led to the Belshazzar making a wrong cheshbon, a wrong calculation, and this led to Achashverosh making a wrong cheshbon. Now, let me just continue with the years here.
So how far apart were the two with Belshazzar, Suda, from
Achashverosh? Oh, so Belshazzar's in 3387. Achashverosh... I'm sorry, Belshazzar comes to power in 3387. His party is 3389, which relates to 70 years after, right, an era of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is 3320, but how you calculate the years and so on, I'm not going to get into the Cheshbon exactly. But then Mishta Belshazzar is 3389. Achashverosh comes to power in the year 3394. And the Nes of Purim happens 10 years later. In the year 3404. Again, it depends on you. We're not going to get into the discussion of how to calculate years and how to call years, so let's just say these numbers. And the Nes of Purim, Haman comes to power in 3404. The Nes of Purim is in the year 3405. Okay, and now the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash is 3 years later in the year 3408. Now, one more very important point, which fits into this period of Golus, is that the end of the Nevi'im, the Seif time, the end of the era of Nevi'im is in the year 3448 with the passing of Chag HaZecharia Malachi in the year 30, in that year 3448, which is a 1,000 years after Kabbalah Satira, right? After Matan Torah, which is in the year 2448, right? So if you go, Avraham Avinu was born in 1948, and 100 years later Yitzchak is born in 2048. It's 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak till Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? That's the cheshbon of the 400 years. So you have 1,000 years from Matan Torah until the end of the Nevi'im. So during that period of time, you have Matan Torah, you have the Midbar 40 years, you have Yeshua ben Nun, you have the period of the Shoftim, you have all the Nevi'im that we know of, all take place during that time with Malachi, the Chag HaZecharia Malachi being the end of Nevi'im. Now, just new to the topic, but Hanukkah takes place around 3622. Just Hanukkah, of course, is much later than Purim. But the point here, and this is why it's so crucial, we see the story of Purim and this Achashverosh, right where we're talking, right in the Mishnah and so on, takes place towards the end of the Golus of the Bayis Rishon. It takes place during those 70 years of Golis. During this period of time, we have the Anshei Knesset HaGadoila, the men of the Great Assembly, who were numbered 120. They created parts of our Hanhagas, Arayim Azesh, Manasseh being one of them, in order that the Yid should survive the Golis. So it's the period now of the Golis of after Bayis Rishon and the Haschala of Bayis Sheni, right? You have 40 years of Nevi'im, is an effort of the Nevi'im and the Anshei Knesset HaGadoila, which consisted of not only Nevi'im, there were Tanoim on the Anshei Knesset HaGadoila, Shimon HaTzadik, who haya Mishiyar Knesset HaGadoila. The Anshei Knesset HaGadoila were 120 members. When they passed away, they were not replaced. So Shimon HaTzadik was from the last members. He had served together with Nevi'im. He had seen Nevi'im in action, but he was the end. When he passed away, together with a handful of colleagues, that ended this period of the Anshei Knesset HaGadoila. Their job was a desperate infusion of Hanhagas and Klal Yisrael to survive the Golos. Shimon HaTzadik is the classic example. We had a Karbonus, we had Nevi'im. The period of Klal Yisrael looked so different. They recognize that there's going to come a time where there will be no more Nevi'im. And when there's no Nevi'im, you lack a certain ability to communicate with your Ribono Shel Olam. Right? We had Nevi'im. Imagine going to a Navi, Le'aleinu, when there's a Tzara, when there's a Simcha, whatever it might be. You want to now have an understanding, a Farshtei, of what's going on. You went to the Navi, you understood, Klar, this is the situation. How many times in Navi, they asked Harab B'nai Hashem, right? They didn't listen. They didn't listen to the Nevi'im. Like over and over and over again, when that period comes to an end, which is happening, it's slowly, you know, it's powering down, right, to borrow a term of today, right? It's power, the Nevi'im are powering down, they're going to come to an end. How will Klal Yisrael survive? So they infused Hanhagas, again, Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei, we live by Shemoneh Esrei. That's our communication with the Ribono Shel Olam. Three times a day, the Seder HaBrachas, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Siman Kuf Aleph, if a person has a choice to daven in a different language or Lashon HaKodesh, better they should daven. Even though they don't understand Lashon HaKodesh, okay, the first bracha you have to understand, but after that you don't understand a word you're saying, better daven Lashon HaKodesh. Why? Because the words of the Nevi'im of Shemoneh Esrei were Poyo Lamala. They Tuayf in Shamayim. They shoot up to heaven. And they, the Baruch Shalom listens to those Tfilas. And they're there. They have the words and the Cheshbainis of the Seder of the Nevi'im and things that are above our comprehension. But therefore, better Davon Lashon HaKodesh. And that's what the Nevi'im put in. It gave us an ability to communicate with the Baruch Shalom in that way. And other Takanas of the Anshei Knesset HaGadoila. So this story and the Purim is taking place during this era because one of the aspects of Golis, and again, Bayis Sheni is somewhat of a Golis. Bayis Sheni had Karbonis, but it was not a Nevi'im for most of Bayis Sheni. So again, there was a detachment. The Bayis Sheni was not what Bayis Rishon was. So one of the aspects of this also was anti-Semitism. In other words, always it's Amalek. Since right after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, there was anti-Semitism. But one of the aspects of Golis is going to be surviving the Golis. So physically surviving those individuals who call for Lahashva Laharig La'abed, is called Yehudim Bin Avad Zaken, Tafanoshim, who call for the destruction of Klal Yisrael. How will we manage that? How will we survive that? What's the right mahalach? What should we do? That is also a handbook of the Golis, of dealing with the Golis that we're in. Now, the other part of the introduction is Sefer Taniel, the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar, right? The idol of Nebuchadnezzar was the other, takes place in Daniel, and that was also, the Gemara tells us, was a terrible chait of Klal Yisrael, and was one of the reasons that they were potentially, chayv klaya. And the Gemara tells us that this tzelem is a machlokes rishonim. This is again in Sefer Daniel. There's a machlokes rishonim between Tosfos and Daf Gimel of Beis and Masechta Pesachim. Tosfos, the Ri tells us in Tosfos that it was avodah zarah. V'lo polchu mishum avodah zarah. Hanan mishum Azariah did not bow down to it because it was avodah zarah. The Rabbeinu Tam learns that this was not a tzelem, rak lechvaydai. It was some sort of image that was done to honor Nebuchadnezzar. It was for his covet. The prevalent view is like the first daya, Which is that it was Taka of Avodah Zarah, but it's hard to understand how Klai, according to that pshat, it's hard to understand how Klai Yisrael would contemplate bowing to such a thing. So again, we have Machlokes Rishonim, but either way, this was why Klai Yisrael was potentially Chayav Klai. Now, the Gemara Chulin on the Kuflam Tesam base tells us Esther bin Atar Minayin, another. Fundamental part of introduction is the Gemara asks Esther ben Atar Minayin. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Parshas Vayelech Vanoichi Haster Aster. I will hide my face. Panai, right? I will hide my face. So of course you learn the Gemara Pashut that it means that okay, it's very nice. Esther ben Atar Minayin. It's where does it say Esther? So you took a play on words. It says Haster Aster, right? So if you look at the words a little differently, you put some different nakudas in it, you come up with the name Esther. So, but Lemaisa, this of course is much deeper, is why Megillas Esther is called Megillas Esther. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, one of the aspects of Golus. Again, Megillas Esther is the handbook of Golus, and besides the dealing with anti-Semitism, etc., it's also recognizing that once the period of Nevi'im come to an end, which is some 40 years after the Nes of Purim, we now enter a phase known as Hastaras Panim, which means the Ribbono Shel Olam's face is hidden from us. Because we had a period of time of Gilui Shechina. Gilui Shechina is when the Ribbono Shel Olam is performing Nisim. Kriyas Yamsuf, of course, was the greatest of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf was the highest level of this Gilui Shechina. The Ribbono Shel Olam reveals himself Al Yedei Nisim and flows. Some actually learn. There's some Chassidish Sfarim that learn that Purim takes place in the 12th month of the year, and Pesach is in the first month of the year, right? Chayish Hazel Lachem, Reish Chadashim, is Nisan. It's like we start off with a dose of Gilui Shechina, right? We celebrate Pesach, and now the Baruch Shalom is there. And as the year goes on and on, by the time the months come to an end, the 12th month, we already, the Baruch Shalom is hidden, so to speak. And now the Baruch Shalom is still there. Meitzes min acharakim, as we say in Kiddush Levana, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam is, we get from Tillim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is peering through the cracks. The Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no change in the Ribbono Shel Olam's taking care of the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam continues to run the world with no change. Hastaras Panim is not a change in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts Kaviyachal himself in running the world. It is simply the hanhaga and the relationship between the Eibishter, between the Baruch Shel Olam and the world at large. So now once the Seif Nevi'im come, once this period is going to come to an end, the Chazal needed, and the Baruch Shel Olam gave us, through Purim, gave us the tools to deal with Hastaras Panim, because Megillas Esther is about Hastaras Panim. Hanechi Hastaras Hastaras Panim, the name references HaKadosh Baruch Hu playing behind the scenes. The name of the Baruch Shalom is nowhere mentioned in Megillas Esther, right? So it's gebracht that, of course, they were afraid it would be sent out, etc. But the deeper meaning, you know, they didn't know what would happen, Shem Hashem, to be sent out to the provinces, but the deeper meaning is that the Baruch Shalom is behind the scenes. You don't see, you know, Vayaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdai, right? By Kriyas Yamsuf, the Baruch Shalom was there. Ashir L'Hashem Ki Goy Go. Right, you have the Gilui Shechina, Baruch Shalom is there, mentioned over and over again. But Megillas Esther, the Baruch Shalom is behind the scenes. Kosh Baruch Hu is running the show behind the scenes, and therefore the name of the Baruch Shalom is hidden. Also, the Megillas Esther, at least the Psukim, the Pasha Pshat Psukim, happens b'derech hateva, different than Nevi'im, right? By Nevi'im, you have a Navi gets up, Navi predicts the future. You can learn about Elisha Navi, and you learn about Eliyahu Navi, and you learn Yirmiyah and Yeshaya, right? And Yecheskel, it's all Nisim, the Ma'aseh Merkava, right? Nisim Gluyim that occur. But Megillas Esther, you can write a, you know, Lahavdil, it could be a novel, so to speak. There was a king, and he had a queen, and she rebelled, and he killed her, and Esther happened to be there, and Esther came. So we know, right, Esther came, and then the Haman got up, wanted to kill the Jews, right? I mean, after, everybody knows the story. Everybody knows the storyline of the Megillah. But you just read the Psukim, and it sounds like a nice story that happens. But Klal Yisrael, we recognize that behind the scenes, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really running the show. Of course, the Gemara, the Medrashim tell us various nisim that did occur, but they're not noticeable from the story itself. And therefore, again, it says we live in a world where we don't understand the comings and goings of Eibishter. We don't understand the comings and goings of the Welt that we're in. But that's Kufa Staris Panim. We have no Nevi'im to go to explain this to us. So we turn to Megillas Esther as the handbook to say, this is it. The Baruch Shalom is still running the show. Just like by Megillas Esther, where Klai Yisrael and Yahish, and they gave up. We'll talk more about Yish in the future weeks of giving up. But we don't understand this, right? We don't understand. And therefore, that's vita, the handbook of Megillas Esther, living in a world of Hastaras Panim without the ability. And finally, at the end with this Yusayid, is the Yontif is called Purim, right? And that, of course, is Al Shem HaPur, right? Now, why is it that it's called Purim? There are a lot of aspects. Call it the Chag HaMordechai, Chag HaEsther. There's so many other things that you Chag HaShushan, right? There's so many other aspects of the Yontif that it could be called. Why do we pick a relative, or at least it would seem to be, relative insignificant events that, you know, this is how Haman, when he drew the lots, this is how he decided to kill the Jews. You know, okay, why does Megillah even tell us that? Lots of our God, our lives are in danger, right? We have a madman who wants to destroy us, right? How he comes up with the Cheshbonos. Okay, so Megillah felt it important, but now the whole Yontif, that's what I reference the Yontif by this action of this madman, of this you know, anti-Semite who wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. What's the significance? The answer is that the poor, lots, are to a person something which is the most chance, which would seem to be chance. When someone draws lots, if anything, what's it going to be? You know, you put in 1,000 numbers, one, pick a number, who wins? Who wins? Well, I'll give out numbers. I'm going to go pick a lottery here. It's my chance. Did I put my hand this side or that side? You know, it's all chance. Right? That is the greatest case of Hastaras Panim. Right? The greatest Hastaras Panim is in a lottery, because that seems to be, and everything else I can say, why are you where you are? Why do you live where you are? You can say, by chance? No, I decided to live here. My parents lived here. Whatever. There's, you can always find for things. A lottery? Well, it's so easy to deny and say it's just by chance, depending on where you stuck your hand, right? No, even a poor, even a lot, Klal Yisrael believes, when you win the lottery, the person, you know, Yeder Mensch that won the lottery because he went to 7-Eleven and bought the ticket, it's not by chance. There's a reason why he won, and he won at this time, and this stage of his life, and picked those numbers, and the Baruch Hu wanted him to win, and that's it, every time that happens. And therefore, Haman picked the lots, that is the greatest Hastaras Panim, but we as Yidden, the Umas HaOilam believe it's by chance, but we as Yidden believe even the poor is also a gil, is Ribbono Shel Olam running the show. That's the chilik between Amalek. Again, to elaborate later, Amalek believes in chance, and therefore that's what Amalek is all about. Klal Yisrael are the antithesis of that. We believe everything is Hakol B'nei Shamayim, and therefore the Megillah is this aspect that is teaching Klal Yisrael how to deal in the situation of the Golus that we're in. And Bez Hashem, as we continue, Mr. Hashem, we will see this over and over again.
So next Monday, next